Well, it's good to be here tonight. It's good to feel the presence of the Lord. I like to hear Michael sing. Takes his time with singing, and he says the words of the song and gets the message over. And it helps to coordinate the people's mind. And you can't help but get into the thought of the song while he's singing, if you have any feeling at all about the Lord. And this is so good. Well, let's sing this little chorus. I love it.
I love him all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation. Can you sing it again with me now? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, and we're trusting the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, and we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book is mine. Let us enter these gates with thanksgiving in the heart. Enter into the courts with God's praise. Say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Oh, we've entered into the gates with thanksgiving down in the heart. Entered into his courts with praise. Say, this is the day the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice one more time together. So we've entered into the gate, giving down in the heart. Entered into his courts with praise. Say, this is the day the Lord hath made. gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. One more time. All we've entered into the gates with thanksgiving down in the hearts. Enter into the courts with his praise. Sing, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. Gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Just made me glad. Can you give him a hand? Let's give him a hand. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can be seated. I like to rejoice because Jesus has made me glad. Well, it's kind of late down at the building tonight, and I was watching them put up the forms, and they don't like very much, and they'll have them all up, and we'll be ready to pull the walls. And that will mean that the hardest part of our job is finishes to the second story of your building. Shouldn't be a lot of problem to put the third story on there. We'll probably go with timber after the cement of this store, and then I don't know just how high we'll go, maybe not as high as we thought, but one time thought about going on up with a cement wall, another story, and then use some timber on top, but we might do it a little bit different. Kind of pressed for that building, and children are already asking when they're going to get their school. So we're going to see what we can do with it Saturday. If the good Lord is willing, they should be through by then with the forms. And we're planning to try to pour. And this time we're going to use a motor pourer instead of doing it by hand the way we usually do. It'd be a lot of handwork in it. But we can do in 2 hours what they suppose it will take us 2 days to do if we do it by hand. And the man that got the machine talks like we'll have to have about 5 machines going at one time to feed it. So we may have about 5 mixers going at one time to feed it the way we'll be doing it. And I think we'll have enough extended hose. Some of the brethren don't know that. I said I would say about 50 feet, but he's got more hose. And he used about a 2-inch hose to pour that. The reason I'm making mention of it tonight is because Saturday some will be on a church job. And those that will be available for this out here. We don't want to take anybody away from the church job, but if you're available for this out here, we can use you. Because if we use 5 machines, it's going to take some effort and some coordination. Brother Hollis, Brother Brack, supposed to bring us in some gravel and cement tomorrow, or at least gravel and sand. And Joseph is looking after the cement, I believe. So everything's working real well. God's supplying the need. We took a step of faith. We didn't have the money to do what we're doing, but the Lord provided the money and at the same time provided money for us to send over into Rwanda. And we've got a couple of telephone calls through since then and got good reports. And they've received your offering and they're so thankful. Today, Betty was telling me that we received a letter from Ireland. Some brother said that I believe they call their operation the Bible Ministries. But they had received
the radio broadcast by shortwave coming from what they call the King's Voice, and said it was coming in real loud and clear, and that they wanted to know more about the revelation of Jesus Christ and felt like that we would be able to inspire them and encourage them in their ministry from Ireland. So around the world it goes, and from Ireland, from Romania, from Russia, from India, from Africa, Malaysia, and the different places around the world, we're always getting mail. As the brother that came in from Trinidad said that he had been hearing the broadcast coming in down the island of Trinidad and also receiving literature there. So God is still reaching out, and then at the same time, one had just written us a letter, and they've got the faith translated into even another language that I'm not familiar with. The track has been translated in so many languages. God is still moving by His Spirit around the world. We're still trying to do our little bit on the home front and abroad. So if you don't have a part in this ministry of the world outreach, you need to take a part in it. Tell somebody else, let them take a part in it, because it's for sure that when we get to the judgment of God, we're going to be rewarded according to what we have done. The Bible said, according to what your spirit has done while it lives in this body, or tabernacles in this body, you'll be rewarded according to that. You won't be rewarded for my works or somebody else's works, but for your works as to joining with the children of God and doing what you can. Whatever it calls for you to do, whatever your calling is, then the Bible said, let every man abide in his calling. Every member has a job. There's no one as a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but what God has given him, a talent. And like Jesus said to those men that he had given the talents to, one five and another so many and so many. And then when he came for usury, he called for the talents. So he gave you a talent. As to whether you use it or don't use it, that's up to you. If you do not use it, as to putting it to the exchanges, is not because you do not have a talent. And if you do not use it, then it will be taken away from you and given to one that has used it and that has brought to him usury at his coming. A lot of times we say, well, we just be protective and take care of that which is committed unto us. Brother Pike, and we're not going to make any extensive moves, and we're not going to be foolish. We're just not going to utilize the potentials that he's given us. We're just going to take care of it and just be normal folks. And so we go on with the gullibleness of life and our own desires. And then when he comes, he wants to know why we do not put the talent of this breath of life and this strength and this skill that he's given us to the exchanges, that he might have something as to usury at his coming. And he's very wroth, and he'll take away the talents. If you sing, then he'll take it away. If you play an instrument, then he'll take it away. If you have an ability to make money as to a skill or any kind of talent in life, he'll take your skill away. He will not send one talent nor one skill into hell. Everything, you will be stripped of it, and it will be taken away from you and given to your neighbor or them that has utilized their abilities and potentiality for Christ. So you can do whatever you want to. I'm just your pastor. I'm just here as a constant reminder. That's what a pastor's for. And I'm here as a constant reminder to remind you that Christ is looking all the time. His eyes are going to and fro in the earth, searching for the upright in heart, looking for the upright that he might show himself strong on their behalf. So that means that you need to hold on to your talents, and you need to put them to the exchanges for the Lord's sake. Now, one way you can put it to the exchanges is come into the gates with thanksgiving and enter these courts with praise. Come in here with an interest in the Word of God and an interest in the Kingdom of God. Come in here not sitting in the seat of the scornful nor standing in the way of sinners. Let your delight be in the laws of the Lord day and night. Rejoice in this, casting down imagination, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meditating in His laws all the time. Until it's not you living, but Christ living within you. And tonight, we're going to go back to John, first chapter, first verse. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. And going back to this, we want to remind you at the very beginning of this thought that we're after a villain. And we're going to attack the villain. And that we're out to get the villain. There is a villain, and we're out to get him. And the villain is not your neighbor. and the villain is not your brother. And when you say the villain is the devil, you're exactly right. And the place that you're going to find the devil is in you. So the villain is you. That's where the problem is. Whereas one would say, oh no, Brother Pike, that couldn't be. But it really is. See, and this is where we get in trouble. It is because we never come to recognize that. We never come to hate our lives. We never come to hate this image. Though God hates it, and yet we say we're Christ-like and we don't hate it as a people. God said, I'll pursue it till it perishes from all the face of the earth. That he's born in adultery, he's born out of wedlock, he's a bastard child, and I'll hate your image, he said in the morning, and the morning was Calvary. When this great, wonderful light broke, when it said it is from the evening till the morning, and thus the first day. And now the great light has come, Jesus said, and there has sprung up within the regions of the shadows of death this great, wonderful light to them at Calvary. They were setting in the regions of the shadow of death, or that is, they were setting in the intellectual shadows of their own human reasoning, of that that's a derivative from the tree of knowledge. And he said, now this great light as to the mind of Christ has come to be an expose, given to us in Christ before the world ever was, and the foreknowledge of God from the foundation of the world, and then brought to light to, by the rent veil at Calvary, and now the true light shineth. So now the life is here, and this light, and this life that we handle in our hands, John said. So now we see that this life has come. And he said, and this is the condemnation that is now in the world, that you now have understanding, which is called light. And this light having come, having this understanding, now you are accountable, and I will require it of you. For now you know right and wrong. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So now I brought you light. I won't try you on the basis of your do's and don'ts. I won't try you on the basis of your shortcomings. I won't charge you because you're human beings and you are limited. I made you. I know all about you. I felt your infirmities. I lived as a man in a human body so I could be the high priest of your confession and be felt and feel the feeling of your infirmities or touched by the feeling of your infirmities. But the thing I'm going to charge you with is the fact that you know what to do as to what is righteous and you don't want to do that. You love darkness rather than light, or that is, you love ignorance rather than understanding. Or you delight in your own thoughts of your own human desire, which is a derivative from the fall of Adam, as that that's inside of you. The Bible said, blinded by the ignorance of that darkness on the inside of you, of that intellectual shame. He said, the eyes of your understanding being darkened, and therefore you'll never see the light as the kingdom of God when it cometh. And this light shines within your midst as the understanding, but you love the ways of the flesh, and you love the frolic of the world, and you love the things that you want to think about and talk about, and the things you want to do more than you love God's ways and God's thoughts and God's righteousness. So this is the condemnation that will come to you in the day of judgment. This is what I'll charge you with, and this is what will cause you to lose your eternal life. And God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. You've got the revelation. Turn my people from the intellectual religious stride, especially the Jews, and turn them unto this great, wonderful faith which is within Christ or me, by which they're sanctified, the faith of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God, that faith by which they're sanctified. So seeing those things in a hurry there to kind of get a little footwork, we see that what God has done has brought it to the place to where we now see the villain. Now, when we speak of the villain, the thing that I wanted to do in slowing down for just a few minutes tonight is to remind you that the villain is you. And you are the culprit. You are the villain. You are to blame. You're the one that caused the trouble, no one else. You caused the problem. You caused the sin. Death did not come by God. God did not instigate death. You instigated death. God did not bring death. God brought life. God did not bring a curse. He brought a blessing. God did not give you a fruited plain that was specked by the diseases of life or contaminated by the diseases of life. He did not bring that to you. He brought fruit that was spotless. He brought the beautiful garden and everything without a curse, everything without any contamination, everything without a disease. He did not bring the harsh winter nor the harsh sunshine as to the summers, but he brought it in moderation, that it was a paradise. But because you didn't want to listen to God, and because you didn't want to do what God told you to do, then today death has come, and the curse has come. And the sentence of death is now in the body of Adam's seed, because Eve would not listen, and Adam would not listen. And the Shekinah glory of the illumination of God's covering, the covering of his glory, departed from Adam, and God said, "You cover with a covering, but not of me." That's what the prophet said. So they covered with a covering, and that covering was not the glorious covering of the angelic spirit of Christ, which is love, but it was Lucifer, the son of the morning, the spirit of lust, of human inspiration and desire, and the glory of Lucifer, which is the glory of this world. So the glory of the terrestrial is one, the glory of the celestial is another. And when we realize that this celestial glory withdrew from Adam, from then on we know that all of his children are born unto death, born under the curse, born in sorrow, that they're nothing but beast, and all of them have corrupted their way. All flesh has corrupted its way. And God, after 2,000 years of reproduction, completely done away with all of the people of the earth. He thought that much of them that he completely destroyed all of them. When he brought 3 million people out of Egypt, he thought so much of them as to this point that he destroyed all of them and took no one into Canaan except Caleb and Joshua. And when he came to Sodom and Gomorrah, he thought so much of them as to this point that he destroyed every last one of them, saying that they were stubborn and contrary people and that they would not listen. And the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has thought so much as to this point that he's going to destroy every living human being on the face of the earth, from all the way from the beginning of the world, even them that are in the graves, until the consummation of the world. He's going to destroy every last one of them. He's going to destroy every angel that's residing in the spirit world and spare only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and those angelic beings that's subject to him as him being their master, and those people that are subject to the Lord Jesus Christ as him being their master. And that's all that he's going to spare. All the rest he's going to completely, utterly do away with them, to where he'll never see them again. They'll never come into his presence again. So the Lord Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's going to restore that Shekinah covering of his glory that Adam had, that left Adam in the fall. So you're to blame. You're the culprit. You're to blame. When you look in the mirror, you got the one that caused all the problems. Now, someone would say, "Well, Brother Pike, I can't get a hold of that. I realize that because you're an unbeliever." See, but if you wasn't an unbeliever, you could get a hold of it real easy, because you would believe what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that the Bible says it will not be the preacher speaking, but God in his temple speaking from within him, and let all the world keep silent. So then that means that if you believe the word, then you would understand. The word must go into all the world for a witness. Then shall the end come. So how can I say for so sure that you are the villain? Because there's something that we make war with, and that thing is the devil. And the devil resides within the flesh. That's his dwelling place. For Paul said, "Within my flesh or my body there is no good thing. For the will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And when I would do good," he said, "I find a law that evil is present with me. And the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil that I would not do, that's what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Said there's a continual warfare between me and me. For the evil that I would not do, I would not do. That is what I do. And the good that I would do, I find that I do not do. So then there's two eyes in there. There's two personalities there. There's a twain thing going on there. And that walk there is every moment, every thought. It never lets up. Day or night, there's a continual walk there between the body and the soul. And the soul is crying out, spare me. Oh God, spare me. Don't let me sin. The soul that sins shall die. And the body's crying out, conquest, conquest. For the evil spirit that's in that body saying, I will not go back in the dry places. I won't go back out to wander through the wrath of God. I'm going to stay in this body. I'll fight till the last thought. And so we're saying, but we'll cast down every thought till there's not one thought of our birth, not one thought in that our spirit is lustful from the very beginning, and the spirit of lust is within us from the child, which means human desire from the very childhood, interwoven with that of Lucifer from the fall and coming in the beast image as the cocoon of a beast and being no more than a beast, and God having turned them all out into the pastor of this world to roam like beasts, to one day number them under the beast. And so then they roam and he reproduces as beasts, and they're unclean in his sight. Everything, all is corrupted his way. All is corrupted his way before God. Their thoughts are continually evil. And making the world a pastor, the world and all that's in it is vanity and vexation of the spirit. It all has to pass away. So he's turned you out like beasts to graze. And knowing that you're just like beast, that's all you do. You eat. And you drink, and that which goes through you passes out, and you leave it as it goes passing out from the anus and leaving the stench about, nothing but animals and going through the birth and all of these things. It's such a stench. You go through all of these messy things of life, constantly doing nothing that you do is really clean. You're just an animal just wandering around, having fallen from that which is precious and that which is holy and clean. And not anybody good. No one's good. He said, not one's good. No, not one. Only God is good. So then, being like cattle, God has done one thing, and that is he has, by a predestinated thing of a foreknowledge, determined that there would be some that would be good in the end because they would become him. And he would take their place in death to become the wrong and become the sin. And he would replace them by his own life and own body. And it would be no longer them living, but Christ and his bone and flesh. And this would be Christ or God, the only one that's good. And in doing this, he hath subjected through the fall, the Bible said, subjecting the creature to vanity. He has subjected, during the time of this subjection, certain people that have an inward potentiality that brings them to that of the metamorphosis of the butterfly. And to bring them to the rending of the cocoon of Calvary, that this great wonderful thing of spirit may come out of their life at the rending of that cocoon. But at the present moment, they're no more than a beast as to the cocoon, just like the other as to the worm. They all come through the worm or through that of the serpent or that of the beast as to the fall and to the tree of knowledge. And God, veiling himself in darkness, is within those as a potentiality of life by foreknowledge, to the extent that at the time of understanding, when it comes to pass, at the time of life, as Sarah conceiving, there will be a conception within their heart as to the promised seed. And that child shall bring liberty and life to them that conceive of that seed. The time of the promise drew near, and it was as to the promise which was Abraham, having received a promise from God that his barren wife and him not able to reproduce, that they would bring forth as a renewal of their youth, they would bring forth a son. And God would give them a son, which would be a promised son by a woman, which was symbolic of the New Jerusalem. And it would be a typical thing, as with Isaac, pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as that of Mary. And of that, there would be beyond the rent veil, and this Christ that would be born out of Jesus, which was in the feminine gender, and the Christ being in the masculine gender. Through the travail of Calvary, and this would be the true promise, as to the coming of the Son that would deliver his seed out from under the law. And not only that, but the Jews being as it would be the nation that through Abraham's seed, as to the Jew, all nations would be blessed, because through them would come the royal seed, as to the promise being fulfilled. As to God saying, Abraham, I promise you to make your seed as the seashore, as the sands of the seashore, innumerable as the stars above, innumerable. And saying, I will bring this to pass in the time of the season, or that is, at the time of life with Sarah, or that is to say, as to when New Jerusalem comes, as to spiritually speaking and understanding spiritual things. Hagar, as old Jerusalem, which now is and in bondage with her children of her do's and don't and her laws, as to the bondage of trying to get to God by works, answers unto Mount Sinai, but Sarah answereth unto New Jerusalem, which brings the promised Son. And in Christ we are all made alive. As in Adam we all die, and Jesus came as the first man Adam, went to Calvary, took our place there, and died as Adam to end that generation. John laid the axe to the root of the tree, cut that family tree down all the way back to the garden, and then Jesus came as a new seed planted of a new blood cell, and come forth in a resurrection as being delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification in the resurrection. So today it's not us living, but it's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're now filled with the Spirit of Christ, and we're now the body and bone, and we're now in a new world, and we're now a new creature. The veil has been rent in twain. The butterfly has come forth. The cocoon has been rent. The resurrection of the dead. So then, this is what the seal is speaking of in the fifth seal of the book of Revelation. Souls under the altar. You that have not come forth in Christ have not come forth in the resurrection. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. When he stood by Lazarus' tomb, there as Mary and Martha cried, he said, you don't need to weep. Your brother will live again. And they said, we know that he will in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. That is the death of the soul, which is called the lake of fire. So then we have Christ, and we have Christ in our heart. We really need some time to go into these thoughts tonight, but I'm just hurrying along, hitting the high spots, because I know I don't never have that time. But anyway, this warfare is on. And you are no more than the beast wandering around in the pasture. As to your body, I have to just say these things like speaking unto children. And I have to just say these things and lay them out just in a continuity, hardly touching any revelation, as to revelate these things in particulars or revelate them in detail, because I don't have any time like that at all. This morning was up moving around about 4 o'clock this morning, and that makes it a long day to us. But anyway, we was over the cabin early before daylight and out in the grounds there and expounding the gospel to the different brethren. And we had a little time this morning because they was not as of yet ready to go to work. And we took a little time and expounded a few of these things that we're talking about as to detail or in revelation, that they might be able to understand a little better. And long from our depths of our heart, as our heart is enlarged to you, to be able to do it here, was we just can't do that thing, that's all. Now, I just don't have the time. It just won't take that way. I can get it to take, like tonight, I'm getting it to take a little bit by the help of the Lord, and I've got a little interest, but not enough to hold you long enough to get into a real revelation. So there's not enough hunger and interest for this kind of thing. Now, you would say, well, why in the morning, Brother Pike, is it that when you get with these men that you get a little of it over? Well, there's more than one reason. One reason is they're fresh. They've just got up. Their mind's not crowded with the things of the day. And another reason is they'd rather listen to me talk than go to work. And the longer I talk, the less they have to work. So that makes them have great interest. But anyway, so much for that. I'm just saying that it makes it difficult here for me to get these things over. I just say a few things, and then I go to detail something, and I think, no, the revelation comes to detail it. And I think, no, that'll never do. I get here, right here, I'll lose them that quick because there's not enough strength and interest there. So I'll go on. So then you're no more than beasts just wandering around out in the world. If I get the format of this in your mind, maybe someday a little bit here and a little bit there and line upon line, and precept upon precept, and we'll be able, by the help of the Lord, for him to express a little bit, and then you can put it together, or he'll put it together for you. But you're no more than beast. This is what I want you to get a hold of. You are the villain. You're no more than a beast. You are in the image of the serpent. You are on your belly. All of your labor is for your belly. And God even spoke to Jacob, saying, "Thy worm, Jacob," speaking of the serpent. And the only way that you escape that is through a new birth in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, that thing that you cuddle is to your body and your face, and all of these things that you do with your hugging, kissing, and all your passions and all these other things relate back to the beast. See, and back to blood and guts. And all it amounts to is your ambition of getting things that's nothing. Getting things that are vanity. Cars and homes and houses. Faces and forms. And then dying and leaving it every bit and being fed to the worms. And getting vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind. This is why, as I expounded this morning in Revelation in a little detail, why that I'm so hard on the worldly diplomacies. Because it is the tree of knowledge. It come through the old tree of knowledge. It started prostitution, and it's continued to be that way. And it has continued to be enforced by the law, because the law is you transgress it, that's sin and death. And it is upheld by the badge and the gun, and Satan is seeking to do that to make everybody of one mind. And that's the educational mind. So they'll all have one mind, and that's from the same books, same writing, same brain work, and the same spirit of the devil that started in the garden, to where Satan can make them all one membership of an educational system, to where he can control them from the educational elites that put themselves up into the offices of the power of legislation, saying to the poor and to the ignorant and the unlearned, such and such, as to intimidate them and make them think that they're their great leaders and they're their great deliverers and they're going to do a great thing for them, and promising them liberty while they themselves are the bondage in bondage to corruption and subjects of bondage. See, and in doing this, the world is going after it. Even the preachers is going after all this doctrine of divinity and all this kind of thing. And now Satan has got into the religious world, turning it into a sodomy. I think they just had the congregationalists just let two sodomite preachers in, was it? They just got their first two preachers. I believe when I was in the Carolinas, there's a sign noticed there that they the Baptists are opening up their ways to the sodomites. And now the worm is getting in the core of the apple. It has just been on the outside gnawing around, and you could cut the spots off, but now it's hitting the core. So the government, the religion, and whatever, so God's ready to throw the apple away. Now, when we say the worm is to thy worm, Jacob, or the old serpent, see, that evil thing is gnawing its way in. People will soon allow for it, just like everything else. After a while, they'll get used to it. They'll adjust to it. They'll let them push it over on them and go right on. And that means their children will turn into sodomites and lesbians and all these kind of things. See, because if they fellowship that corruption, they'll be corrupt. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And the idea of the law and the educational system is to force these people together to corrupt all flesh. And already all flesh has already corrupted its way in the sight of God. There's no redemption now except through the blood of Jesus. And then when it gets to where it comes to this corruption that I'm speaking of, it will be when they have come to a knowledge of the right and wrong of the truth of God, and then continuing in the corruption even to a greater depth, to know the depths of Satan, then that means God will reject them, because they come to a knowledge and that's the end of the world. He cannot go beyond that. Once they know they're guilty, if God allows grace after that, he's an accessory after the fact, and he'll never do that. So when we see these things, we know the end of the world is here. So everybody, along with the world, is nothing but the beast. And the world belongs to the devil. See, he is the god of this world. The world is delivered into his hand. Though God created it, Satan perverted it. Satan contaminated it. Satan took it. And right now, in his condition of vanity, it is Satan's, and it's under his control in his auspices. And he gives it to whomsoever will serve him, as he told Jesus. And you go after the world, you go after the educational system, and you listen to those that have set themselves up in the ecclesiastical places and in the upper echelon.
while they promise you these things, knowing that you're ignorant, and they take you in racial riots and pit you one against another. One against another. Or they try to make you emerge into one thing of sodomy and of drunkards and all these kind of things of fornication. And you can be sure they're all the same way. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I just don't believe all of them are the same. Well, that's where you're wrong. Oh, no, somebody says, I know. I know this man. I know this woman. I know this person. They might be some of them bad, but not all of them. Oh, no. Oh, no, you're wrong. See, where you're getting in trouble is leaning to your own understanding. That's your own understanding. The Bible said there's none of them good, no, not one. All of them have gone astray. Everyone's turned his own way. And that they all have corrupted their way before God. Now, who shall I believe, you or the Bible? Let's give the Lord a hand. This is where people get off trail by not going according to God. All the promises of God are yea and amen. When God says it, that's the way it is. And if we want to keep our balance, then that's the way we look at it. So we are a called out people. We are a separate people. We don't touch those unclean things. All of that out there is under the curse. We seek the kingdom first, and God adds all of these things that he wants us to have. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not those things that are under the curse, which is called the unclean. And I will receive you, saith the Lord. And I will bless you and make you ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll make you rich, have no sorrow. I'll give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in it. You're the called out, just like he called them out of Egypt. Now, don't turn back into Egypt when you're called out. Don't keep your mind on money and businesses and the things of the world. God doesn't care what you do as long as it's right and just. But when you get carnally minded, business minded, money minded, just talking and fellowship and relatives and going and seeing and sights and going to every little kind of entertainment and all these things in the world, you are dead in trespasses and sin. You are not a Christian. You do not have God. Not at all. You're dead. You're dead. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I feel the presence of God. I know you do. Because the Bible said the rain is on the tear. The sunshine and the rain, the wind, all of it is on the tear. It's on the tear. And I will pour out of my spirit in the last day, saith God. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men, they will dream dreams or see visions. And when it comes to these kind of things, God is pouring out of his spirit through Calvary. See, because he hath brought grace that all might have this blessing. That they might be illuminated even as Adam. That they might be in the presence of God. And they might feel the presence of God. And have this light enough to know what's right and what's wrong. See, does that make them a Christian? Oh, no. If they prophesy, does that make them a Christian? No. If they speak in tongues, does that mean they got the Holy Ghost? No. Now, if they do all of these things, having the gifts, whatever, does that mean they are a Christian? No. What does mean that they're a Christian? The Bible said it's so close it would deceive the very elect if possible. They can dance, they can shout, they can holler, they can scream, they can feel good, they can hold offices, they can do anything that they want to do, they can give in the offering, they can come to church regularly. That doesn't mean they're a Christian. One thing is the proof of Christianity, and that is the nature of Jesus Christ. See, a little baby can kick its feet, it can roll its eyes, it can clap its little hands, it can do anything, it can get goo, it can suck on its bottle, whatever, and you can go up and you say, that darling little fellow belongs to me. But unless there's one thing there that you have to have, it doesn't belong to you, it could belong to anybody. It's a baby, all right, but it could belong to anybody, unless it has one thing, and that's your nature. Now, your baby, when you go for your baby among all the babies in the hospital, it's got to have the nature, your nature. And even when they check the blood type, it'll be according to the dad's blood, or it's not your child. So then, it's the same way. You've got to have this blood type. We're born to the new blood. And when they check it, when the physicians of God, which is the ministry, checks that blood type, they know immediately that that's not the right thing. See, unless it's God's blood type. And when we come to these things, if they check the nature by the word, and you try the spirits by the word, and they find out that your nature isn't to be Christ-like, or to hunger and thirst after spiritual things, or to have the mind of God, or to leave the world alone, and the flesh alone, and that old villain alone, then you don't have the goods. See, his nature is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the proof of Christianity is the Bible said you are partakers of this divine nature. And this nature in you, that is the same, makes you to be about your Father's business. And makes you to hunger and thirst after the things of God. And brother, when you got that nature, there's no problem. You can never fall. You pass from death unto life, and they that do these things shall never fall, never come into condemnation. They'll never be spotted. They keep themselves. They cannot sin, and the evil one toucheth them not. They are sealed in their spirit until the day of the change, until the redemption of the body. So you got a continual warfare between that religious parasite that's called vomit on his table. All of these people coming around, these preachers wearing shorts, all these deacons and these people in the churches, in the denominational churches, running around in the bathing suits, out on the beaches, running around shorts, running around playing golf, going after the things of the world with all their dainties. You say, what are they, Brother Pike? They're called vomit on the table. They're lukewarm. They'd been better off if they'd been cold. They are not hot. So they're not cold. They're religious. He said, I've spewed them out of my mouth because they're lukewarm. Now they're vomit. That's what I call vomit. And he said, and there are swine, they're animals, they're dogs, wallowing in their own mind, lapping their own vomit. But not you. You have the nature of Jesus Christ. You're not a serpent because you went by the way of Calvary. And God rent that veil in two. And he took that outer you that Paul said was given the trouble and killed it at Calvary and buried it in a water grave and took your angelic being and translated it into the spirit of his righteousness, which is Christ the kingdom. And he put it inside of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is resurrected and sitting at the right hand of the Father. As you being complete in him or your finished work, then that makes you altogether holy before him. There's nothing that you can do to obtain salvation. There's absolutely nothing that you can do to obtain salvation. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, there's one thing about it. We've got to call on the Lord to get salvation. Well, then what about this particular thing where the Bible said it shall come to pass that he shall hear before you call? What do you do with that? Did he hear before you called? He certainly did. The Bible said this was given to you in foreknowledge. And Paul said, as to the elect, by foreknowledge, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And it said, and they that were predestinated, for ordained unto eternal life, believed, and they that were not, they did not believe. Shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it also says, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So, someone says, and he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved, Brother Pike. That's right. But only he that is predestinated as to the foreordained that's sealed in his spirit will endure to the end. You did run well, but what's hindered you? What's caused you to turn away? See, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. So then, what is that? That means that you can be as religious as you want to. You can be just like all the rest. There's hundreds of millions of them in the world today, but they'll never make it into the kingdom of God because they've never been translated into the kingdom of God. And as I've said so many times before, the kingdom of God is already here. As I've said so many times before, Christ is already here. And as I've said so many times before, the translation is already taking place. Already taking place. And has been taking place since the foreknowledge of God, or made manifest since Calvary, given to us by foreknowledge and manifested at Calvary as to the rent veil. Now, if we went on in detail, as to detail this, you would understand better, but I'm hurrying, having to compact too many things for you to understand. But at least I've got to get a uniformity of a continuity to say at least enough to where it goes on tape that when people listen, they'll kind of know from point A to point B. So what then is the preacher saying? Or what is the Spirit saying unto the church? Do we hear? Having natural ears, we don't hear what the Spirit said. Having natural eyes, we don't see what the Father's doing. But Jesus said, spiritual eyes of enlightenment, we see always what the Father's doing. Having ears to hear as the spiritual ears, we know always the Father and we know his voice because we're his children. So we see him and we hear him. We follow him. Wherever he goes, we follow him all the days of our life. We are his sheep. That means that We are children of light and not children of darkness. But being a Bethlehemite, living on the campground, coming to the church, doing the things that you're doing, it doesn't matter what kind of position that you occupy, how long that you've been here. I tell you again, as I've told you many times, ministering to you down through the years, numbers of you that are on the campground and here, in and out, you do not have the nature of Christ. You've never been born again. Like one of the fellows that left, said he was going to high ground. I told him before he left, I said, you don't have the Spirit of God. And he'd been here for a number of years, done all kinds of things, one of the finest, quietest. His wife was the same way, efficient in what they were trying to do. I said, it doesn't make any difference. You just never have had that. And he left and proved it. See, another one that I told him the same thing about, he left and proved it. And others that we've told him about, it's been here, we told them the same thing. They left and proved it. And there's more of you that don't have it. Though you've had all these experiences and though you're coming to church, you will fall along the way. See, you'll never be able to make that translation because, first of all, you're not living right. Your spirit has not been translated into the Spirit of God. Your spirit doesn't agree with my spirit. Your spirit doesn't relate to my spirit. Your spirit isn't hungering for the things of God and the Word, which is His Spirit. Christ was the Word. And if you had the Spirit Word or the Word Spirit, it would relate to the Word and hunger for the Word. And if the Spirit of Christ, which is the eternal life of God or the kingdom of God, was within you, then it would testify of heaven. It would search after the things of God. It would hunger and thirst after the Word. It would relate to the Word because that is the Spirit of the Word, even Christ. And so then you don't have that because you don't have the interest in that. So here we just go through our little formalities and do whatever we can and say what little we can or allow the Spirit to say what little He can to where He can reach a few of His babes here or a few children here to try to guide them and stimulate them on as to an interest of growth that they might receive the good, wonderful things of God. And if you'll just bear with me, I'm going to let you go in a little bit and not hold you long. So don't get uptight on me. Just stay there. And you that come to get the Word and have somewhat interest, which I never feel any real interest here, almost never. But you that do come that have enough interest to fight and struggle to try to get a little bit of something, hold on, because I'm telling you, even you at the very best, I notice even the brethren I talked to this morning, I talked to you in the early morning, I talked to you during the day, I talked to you all the time, and when I talked to you, I checked your spirit. And did you know I hardly can fathom enough depths to make contact with your spirit. You're so far out in the natural and in the things of the world that I can hardly touch your spirit, even with all the listening that you do in the morning. And we really need to buckle down. We really need to buckle down. I know when David said something in men's meeting about he could hardly find anybody going on in this, a lot of them drew up on him. And I understand that. But nevertheless, it's true. After 20 years, it's hard to find any of them at Bethlehem that's really made any progress. I know that there's some of them that's picked up a little bit here and there, but not even enough to put it together to create an interest and an endurance to create a hunger and thirst for the things of God. And when I'm up here, it's almost like I'm standing here by myself and just talking, and that you're just listening out of courtesy and waiting for the moment to hope that it won't take too long so you can get out and the flesh can be free to go. Which that's what we're going to do. Like I said, I always try to do that. I try to oblige you. Like they said, Jesus, get out of our coast. And he left. Though he had done some great things, he left. And the world is saying, depart from us, Lord. Depart from our coast. We're interested in ball games and we're interested in eating. We're interested in buying. We're interested in faces. We're interested in passion. We're interested in the beast. They're saying we're interested in the body. We're interested in the human senses. We're interested in that which is of the devil, that belongs to the devil, that the devil loves, and that they love Lucifer, the lust, the spirit of lust.
which is their own human desire. See, and if I could detail this just a little bit to bring some things out, you'd see that as plain as noonday. But Satan isn't going to let you see that. He's letting you be blinded by the ignorance that's within you to keep you from getting this thing in any form of detail and letting you feel the complacencies of life to feel like you already are right. You've already got enough. You've already going to make it. You're already in the kingdom. You've already got the infilling of the Spirit. But I warn you again, according to a minister and a shepherd that wants to love you and help you, you don't have it. You don't have it. When I say that, I'm speaking unanimously to the congregation. I'm speaking of people that's been in this 30 and 40 and 50 years and been right here at Bethlehem many of the years, maybe 20, 25 years here. And you're positive because you fasted some and you prayed some. And I'll guarantee you that you haven't got into the Spirit of Christ and you haven't got the nature of Christ. And if you'll go back and check the record and flip back the pages, you'll find this time when you've been so wretched that if it ever dawns on you how wretched you've been as to you and your wife, how wretched you've been as to you and your children, how wretched you've been in your decisions and demanding and stubborn and ugly, and how you've done through your lifetime, and you look at that, you'll sit down and weep like a baby and say, my God, I've been a fool. What kind of fool have I been now that I'm looking at this thing and seeing the crossing? What kind of fool have I been? Oh, you could never do that. I know you could never do that unless you belong to Him. And when you belong to Him, He'll open it all up to you. And He'll show you the very thing that I'm saying. The others will never see it. It's complacency. They teach prestige and self-confidence and all these other kind of things. But when you see it like God gives it, then you'll say, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this villain? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, tonight all I've done is exhort you just a little bit because I've tried and tried and tried. Just thought I'd take my time and try to get into the revelation of this. And it was all around it, and it was just flooding my heart as all day long. But I couldn't do it because there's no hunger and thirst. But anyway, you fine audience, you come to church as to however how many's here tonight. I can see a lot of them are not here. But as to them that come tonight, and you're getting enough to make you guilty before God anyway. And my purpose in the earth is to preach the gospel to every creature that you might be guilty in the day of judgment when you didn't go on with God, when you didn't hunger and thirst after God, when God says, why didn't you do what I told you? Why didn't you honor me? Why didn't you let this mind be in you? Why did you not go after the nature that I gave through Christ Jesus? Why is it that you did not conform to the full measure of the stature? See, why you lost the reward. See, and it will be that way. And it's going to be straight as the gate and narrow as the way, and few there be that find it. So strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able to go in. So you might be trying tonight, but I'm telling you, millions and hundreds of millions are feeling the presence of God. They're having great big gatherings. The Spirit of God has been poured out, and they're shouting and dancing, and they're hollering, and they're doing all kinds of things, and gifts are working, and preachers are preaching like a blaze, and they're not right with God. Miracles are happening. Miracles are happening. Signs and wonders. But the people are still not right with God. And when God goes to glean the field, it's just going to be as it was for Ruth. Just a little bit of gleaning. All right. Let's stand together. Those others reaped down the fields and they've done all kinds of things. But when it come to the bride, there was only one. A little gleaner. And just getting the leftovers. But she was very loyal and very faithful. So it's real sad to me because I love human beings like God does. And I see you, and you're supposed to be my labor in the Lord. But if I'm able to win one, just get one, out of all of them, I'll be satisfied. The angels in heaven rejoice over one soul coming to repentance. They have a jubilee over that. Rather than over 99 people that are religious or people that need no repentance. So we go on with what we're doing is our little bit.
still looking forward to the things of God. And should you ever get hungry one day, if it's not too late, you may get some fragmentals. Because all this time that you're not hungry, and all this time that you're not going on with God, and you're not hungering and thirsting after God, you're missing the wonderful revelation of the Son of God. Like people as far as Ireland, people in Russia, people in Trinidad, people in the different islands around the world are crying out, give me the revelation. Tell me about the revelation. Brother Pike, I want to know about this wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus. We sang the song, Draw Me Nearer, Blessed Lord, to your ever-bleeding side. Remember, the rain is poured out on the tare, but the tare will never produce meat for the eater. It doesn't have that kind of nature. Can't tell the difference while they're growing together. All of them's just a little stalk. So you don't know the weed or the tare from the wheat. But when the harvest comes, then one yields a meat for the eater or fruit. The other one does not. One's a bitter weed a lot of times, and one yielding meat for the eater. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep bowed over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Let's sing this little chorus. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah in the well you often sing. There are many, many others through the Bible, and I'd like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by, the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting. Can you sing with me? Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you, want to meet you over there. From that home beyond the sky, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal's ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in. There the Moses banks were missing altogether, and the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no bronze servants, and the acting will be busy far away. All the saints will have the seal upon the foreheads, dressed in rain, but none but ransomed ones can wear.
All who have the wedding garment, they'll be present at that meeting. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Going to meet you, want to meet you over there, in the home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortals here, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's only Son will be the leading one at the meeting. Can you sing it again? For all there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you, want to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortals ear. Glorious I do declare. For and God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting. Sing it one more time, can you? All this going to be a meeting in the end. Sweet, sweet, by and by, the altars are open. Going to meet you, want to meet you over there. Bring that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal's ear. Glorious I do declare. And God's only Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the end. Somebody say hallelujah. The time is at hand. Let him that is just be just still. Let him that is unjust be unjust still. Let him that is ugly and wrong, haughty and arrogant, be haughty and arrogant still. Let him that is meek and humble and sweet, that loved the Lord with the Christ nature, let him be humble and sweet still. For the end is here, and the day is forspent, and the night is at hand, and the judgment has been declared, and now they're to be brought into force as to the declaration, as to the penalty made manifest. Judgment beginning at the house of the Lord. Whosoever sins will remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins will retain shall be retained. Whatever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit, they shall be remitted. Whoever you bless will be blessed. Whoever you curse shall be cursed. So, knowing that the end of the world is here, I sing this little chorus that we sing so often. Time shall be no more. And time shall be at the finishing of the mystery. More, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, you'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Sing it again now. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. Thank you.
one more time.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
You know, we're glad to have Brother James here with us from around Kenya. Maybe coming in from France. He had been here with us. He left and he returned to come visit with us a little longer. And also, Brother Earthley's brother, I believe his name's George Washington. Sounds like a new start for the Constitution. Let's give the Lord a hand, these people a hand. Can you do that? We're glad to have them here. We appreciate them coming to be with us. They're here with us tonight. I trust that they'll get a blessing out of the service, come back every chance they get, and maybe they'll take a liking to this place and decide that they'd like to have a church home. And so we welcome you to come and be with us. While we sing, once again, I will praise him. Let's sing this song.
And I want to praise him. I want to praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory of ye people for the blood that's washed away every stain. Once again now, we will praise him. We will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory, all ye people, for the blood that's washed away.
One more time together.
And we will praise him. We.
I wonder if little Ernie would come up and dismiss us.
The Lamb for sinners slain.
Always think about little Ernie. The earnestness of our inheritance.
Give
Christ within you the hope of that glory.
People, for the blood.
One more time together, Zernica. I look at that sunlight through the door, knowing it's going to set one night. It's going to be the end. I see as I stand up here, a lot of times I'm looking at it, and it goes to sink behind the horizon. One of the days coming, it's going to do that. Never going to rise again. That'll be the last time. Last time in this world. See, whether it be the last time for you or for me, oh, the last time altogether for the generations, it's going to do it. It's going to do it. It's doing it every day. The last time for somebody. For everybody, life is terminal. You're on death row. All races, all people are on death row. Young and old alike. Rich and poor alike. Educated and uneducated alike. Great men and small men. Great women and small women. All are alike. All are on death row. Waiting their time. Unless you go by the way of the cross, go by the way of Calvary, and find eternal life.
While we're singing this, I want you to search your hearts, examine your hearts. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and the Bible said, in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidden to marry, commanding to abstain from meat. As the Bible said, they that know and believe the truth, the Bible said, God hath made this for them to give thanksgiving and receive it. So then, in the last days, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils will come, and people will not heed sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, as to go astray after their own human desire. And they'll take the Bible and they'll change it around. They're gradually changing it. They're changing the Bible. They're changing the words that's in red lettering, saying all that isn't of Christ. And they've hardly left anything. And the Bible scholars have decided that rather than let God decide, that they're so intelligent now, they decide what's God and what's not God, and what's Bible and what's not Bible, out of their corrupt intellectual way of human desire, as to the error of their heart. And esteeming themselves so highly, they have overlooked God and failed to get God as to the word of inspiration that came to the prophets when it came by inspiration, the word being given from God by inspiration, as great, mighty, holy men were moved by the Spirit of God and wrote these things. And now these intellectual demons and devils called human beings are ruling everything out. And after a while, the Bible will be nothing but just a book, and it will just be something that you can read, and they're going to make it fit you to where you'll feel real good and want to read it, because it's going to allow for all of your foolishness, all of your lust, all of your wrong, and there's not going to be anything offensive in there towards you, and you're going to be at perfect rest with your new versions and your new way of life. And when that happens, then everybody will be cut off. Everybody will be cut off. That's what they're doing. They're gradually cutting you off. Gradually cutting you off. And you don't realize it. But that's what's happening.